Mark Ross is the former New York Giants director of college scouting, and he said this weekend on the NFL Network on Odell Beckham, quote, "There's no one more distracting than Odell, even on his best day." So Mark Ross, who knows Odell Beckham pretty well, said nobody is more distracting than Odell Beckham.
I wonder, have any stories started to filter out about just what a monster he was or something?
Nothing specific this weekend.
People saying stuff like this, and it always makes me wonder, okay, what kind of divas have you actually been around? Because most guys in the NFL, you might spend 20 years in the NFL, and you really only have been on like two or three teams and maybe like only one or two world-class divas, and just how bad a diva were they? The reports about Odell Beckham Jr., that he works his butt off. He throws tantrums on the sideline at times. That's nothing we haven't seen out of various wide receivers before. But for him to say there's no one more distracting than Odell, even on his best day, what does he do? Is he constantly complaining about not getting the ball in practice? Is it a game plan thing? I wonder if he's in the coach's offices. What is he doing?
I bet
he
farts a lot in the locker room. Just doesn't take his Beano.
Yeah.
Well, Seth, I think you would know this more than Paul and I would, in that you played on 10 different NFL teams. Like, I mean, 10 different versions of teams, two specific franchises, right? So here's what I imagine is happening. Odell Beckham wants the ball a lot, A. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And B, he's just someone who needs a lot of dealing with every single day.
I would say this. I wonder, too, because I think of like a couple of the big personalities I played with. One is a guy that I'm friends with and I like a lot, and he would know that I'm just not going to say his name publicly, but he knows like the way I feel about him, which is that he was a lot to handle, like a lot to handle. And he was talking to coaches all the time. He was talking to players all the time. He would talk to rookies all the time, and he was very charismatic. And it's the charismatic guys that you worry about the most, because they can bend people's opinion and change the whole atmosphere of a
place. Like dangerously charismatic?
Yeah. Almost like a David Koresh charismatic. Just kind of like they can get a bunch of guys to go along. And in a locker room, getting 10 guys to go along with you and getting you to believe that the coaches don't know what they're doing or something can be destructive enough. You know, you're talking, that's 20% of your starters right there, or 20% of your roster, your game day roster there. So I guess maybe Odell Beckham Jr. is like that. He never struck me as a charismatic guy in terms of like actually like getting other guys to question coaches or things like that. But maybe he is. I always thought of him as more of like a look at me, I'm out here in the media.
Standard
charismatic this way. Yeah. Is he subversive? That's the question. Is he subversive?
It doesn't seem like he would be subversive, but it does seem too that maybe he seems to be the kind of millennial that a football coach would really struggle to understand.
Yeah.
And imagine having one person that's very talented in a locker room that is that way. Maybe it rubs off on some of the other younger players. Maybe some of the other players feel like, oh, it's fine for me to be like that. And maybe that's what's difficult for whatever coaches have been on the Giants coaching staff over the last couple of seasons, is that they see Odell Beckham Jr. in there, and that Odell Beckham Jr.'s presence and his persona also allows for other characters to sort of develop and be the same way.
Right. You know what I wish I would have seen? I wish I would have seen a report that Jacksonville had tried to trade for him, because that would be the ultimate Coughlin just sticking it to the Giants. If Coughlin felt like, hey, look, he's... This is one thing that always surprised me about Coughlin, was like, as old school as he is, he took a chance on a lot of guys that wouldn't look like or seem like Coughlin type of guys. Like Coughlin understood that part of it, that, hey, extreme talent has a different set of rules that come along with it. You know, was Lawrence Taylor, back when Belichick and Coughlin were both on a staff that had Lawrence Taylor, was Lawrence Taylor a model citizen in terms of how to conduct yourself on a football team? Not quite, but he was Lawrence freaking Taylor. And I think Odell Beckham Jr. is the same. You can go your entire career and not have a single player as good as Odell Beckham Jr. on any of the teams you're on. Maybe figure out a way to have a coach that can figure it out. I'm having a hard time without specific stories understanding or believing that Odell Beckham was such a disaster that Eli Manning and Pat Shurmur are more important than Odell Beckham.
We're discussing a quote from Mark Ross, who used to work for the Giants high up in the front office on the NFL Network, when he said this weekend on the NFL Network, quote, "There's no one more distracting than Odell, even on his best day." The Giants made the right decision in trading Odell Beckham, and I hesitated to make this comparison. And I thought about this weekend. I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna go with it. This deal to me is kind of like the Clippers trading Chris Paul 2 years ago. I'm not talking from a Rocket standpoint. I'm talking from a Clipper standpoint. The Clippers made the right decision in trading Chris Paul because they maximized where they were going to be with Chris Paul. This is nothing against Chris the player, who is a future Hall of Famer. This is where the Clippers were with Chris Paul. That moving forward, they were better off rebuilding and reloading their franchise without him than with him. And the Clippers accomplished a couple things with that deal. One, they actually made, shockingly, a pretty decent deal as far as trading stars go. They got three good pieces and a first-round pick out of it, which you almost never see in the NBA, and it's actually worked out for them. And last night, Lou Williams hit a three-pointer at the buzzer. They're going to make the playoffs. Number two, moving forward, the Clippers were in a spot where like they were going to rebuild a franchise, draft guys, bring in free agents like they might in the offseason, and they want to do it without the overwhelming presence of what having a Chris Paul is. And so even though you're obviously going to get worse on the basketball court by losing a guy like Chris Paul, and the Giants will get worse by losing Odell, for the big, long-term picture, it is the right move for the Giants to trade Odell Beckham.
Okay, that all sounds like a reset, which the Giants have not done. They haven't reset. They just gave Eli Manning a $5 million bonus. They also, in what you just mentioned, the Clippers got a good deal back for Chris Paul. Did the Giants get a good deal for Odell Beckham Jr.?
I think
they get his value?
I think they got about 75 or 80 cents in the dollar.
They got more than what the Steelers got? Is that what we should be making the comparison to?
Well, I mean, no. Well, Khalil Mack got two first-round picks. Odell Beckham Jr. is a better football player than Khalil Mack.
Is he?
Yes. Yes. Khalil Mack's not even one of the best. Odell Beckham Jr. is one of the top three wide receivers in the NFL.
Really?
Khalil Mack's not one of the top three edge rushers in the NFL. Like, I don't. Yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. Are you kidding me?
Odell Beckham
Jr. is like ethereal. He's a ridiculous talent. You think that. I don't think Khalil Mack's nearly the player that Odell Beckham. Well, I shouldn't say nearly. He's in that same upper echelon category.
I'd rather have Khalil Mack.
Well, good for you, I guess. I mean, because look at the Bears' offense. They're incredible.
Khalil Mack is also more durable.
Yeah.
I know this season he had some issues, but Khalil Mack's been very durable, whereas Odell has missed his 16 of his last 32 games.
So Odell Beckham
Jr. But anyway, that's beside the point.
I guess the question is then, why? What is it? So then by your definition, then Odell's going to flame out in Cleveland too.
Not necessarily.
Well, then why? What is it that's wrong? What is it that's
Chris
wrong?
Chris Paul hasn't flamed out in Houston.
Well, okay, what's wrong? What is it that's wrong with Odell Beckham Jr.? Why he shouldn't be in New York right now? Is it because he makes too much money?
A couple of reasons. One, I think he's too much to deal with. Number two, he's had injuries. Number three, he's someone who is always unhappy or is in various stages of unhappiness.
That would go into too much to deal with, right?
Yeah, that probably goes into one.
So basically, the only argument you're making about, the only real reason you're saying this is that he's too much to deal with.
That's basically,
there's no other football reason to get rid of him other than he's too much to deal with.
And I'd also be a little bit worried about the injuries. But yes, it's mostly the fact that I think Odell is too much to deal with.
If he would have been injured as he was, but he was a model citizen, if he was Calvin Johnson or Andre Johnson, there's no way in hell you'd be saying this was the right move.
And one key thing is my thought process would be different if the Giants were competing for a Super Bowl this year.
Uh-huh.
Then I'd say this is a crazy move.
Okay, so then was it a dumb move to keep Eli Manning? Because you're saying hit the reset. Why is Eli Manning still there?
I think Eli Manning still being there is dumb. But having said that, at this point, if they let go of Eli Manning and brought in somebody else as a bridge quarterback, it would still cost them money. So I'm not really focused on that part. They just need to draft a quarterback at some point.
So they also, if they're hitting a reset, they also, I mean, because I don't think you can evaluate any of these moves like in isolation. Hitting the reset would also probably include not drafting Saquon Barkley last year, right?
So well, just, I hated that move.
Their problem was that they didn't realize they had to hit the reset button until a year too late.
Yes.
And now they're stuck with they used a high pick on Saquon Barkley instead of Sam Darnold.
Yes, yes, and yes. Okay. All of that.
Saquon Barkley might not be around by the time the reset kicks in.
It's a big problem.
Okay.
It is a big problem.
But this was a great move for the Giants.
I didn't say it was a great move.
It's the right move. Okay.
Yes, right move.
No, but I'll be watching because maybe Odell Beckham flames out in Cleveland. If Odell Beckham gets along fine and produces and Cleveland's good, I'm going to have a really, really hard time seeing the logic in any of this.
I don't see how we can definitively say this is the right move by the Giants.
I got to give you an opinion. I believe it's the right move.
No, I understand that. But I mean, like, if they actually had gotten rid of Eli Manning or something like that, too, and yes, they're sucking to try to get Trevor Lawrence next season, okay, fine. But I mean, you know what? Why not move on from Eli Manning and say, hey, this is our one building block, Odell Beckham Jr. Like, that to me is a better move than what they're doing right now.
They could have done that.